Kunjabi Hari. Jai Radha Madhava, Kunjabi Hari. Gopi Jana Balaba, Yidid Bhadi Dari. Gopi Janapa Laba Girit Vare Dari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jai Gopi Jana Balaba Girit Bhadi Dari. Jaya Gopi Jana Balaba Girit Bhadi Dari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 19, The Killing of the Demon Hiranyaksha, Text 24. Vinashtasu swamayasu Bhuyascha vrajakeshavam Rishopaguhamanomam Dadrishe vastitam bahi Vinashtasu swamayasu Bhuyascha vrajakeshavam Rusho paguhamanomam Dadrishe vastitam bahi Vanastasu samayasu Bhuyascha vrajakeshavam Rusho paguhamanomam Dadrishe vastitang bahi Vinashtasu, wind dispelled. Samayasu, his magic forces. Bhuya, again. Cha, and Avrajya, after coming into the presence. Keshavam, the supreme personality of Godhead. Rusha, full of rage. Upaguhamana, embracing. Amam, the Lord. Dadrushe, saw. Avastitam, standing. Bahi, outside. When the demon saw his magical forces dispelled, he once again came into the presence of the personality of Godhead, Keshava. And full of rage, tried to embrace him with his arms to crush him. But to his great amazement, he found the Lord standing outside the circle of his arms. Purport. In this verse, the Lord is addressed as Keshava, because he killed the demon Keshi in the beginning of creation. Keshava is also a name of Krishna. Krishna is the origin of all incarnations, and it is confirmed in Brahma Sahita that Govinda, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the cause of all causes, exists simultaneously in his different incarnations and expansions. The demon's attempt to measure the Supreme Personality of Godhead is significant. The demon wanted to embrace him with his arms, thinking that with his limited arms he could capture the absolute by material power. He did not know that God is the greatest of the great and the smallest of the small. No one can capture the Supreme Lord or bring him under his control. But the demoniac person always attempts to measure the length and breadth of the Supreme Lord. By his inconceivable potency, the Lord can become the universal form, as explained in Bhagavad Gita. And at the same time, he can remain within the box of his devotees as their worshipable deity. There are many devotees who keep a statue of the Lord in a small box and carry it with them everywhere. Every morning they worship the Lord in the box. The Supreme Lord, Keshava, or the Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is not bound by any measurement of our calculation. He can remain with his devotee in any suitable form, yet he is unapproachable by any amount of demoniac activities. Om again, Timilandasya. Shalaka Chakshamitanya Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunitananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasati Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. We're continuing with Hiranyaksha's last moment. As you remember yesterday, a shudder ran through the heart of Hiranyaksha's mother, Diti. She remembered the words of her husband, Kashyapa, who said that this son of hers would be killed personally by the Supreme Lord. So blood was flowing from her breasts instead of milk. There are all sorts of inauspicious signs in this universe. In the Vedic knowledge, there's all sorts of auspicious and inauspicious omens. And you get up in the morning and you see the deer passing on a certain side of you, or all sorts of things like that. Of course, as a devotee, everything is auspicious because we're engaged in devotional service. The good or bad of this world is all good for a devotee, because everything, whether so-called good or bad, is used to increase the Krishna conscious realization. So-called distress for a devotee is good, just like so-called prosperity and happiness is good for a devotee, because in all circumstances, the devotee simply increases his or her dependency on the Supreme Lord. That is the real luxury. If you want luxury and opulence in your life, then increase your feeling of dependency on Krishna. Increase your awareness of Krishna. Increase your Krishna consciousness. For such a person, the good or bad of this world has little meaning. Everything is all good, because even in a catastrophe, you're simply increasing your thinking about Krishna. Srila Prabhupada was once describing how during World War II there was a threat that the Japanese would bomb Calcutta, or maybe they actually did. So Srila Prabhupada described his reaction as he was in his 40s at that time. Oh, the bombs are coming. That's Krishna coming. The devotee sees everything as coming from Krishna, even bombs. Not that, you know, when something so-called nice happens to you, that's Krishna's mercy. But if something disturbing happens to you, that's not Krishna's mercy. For a devotee, everything is Krishna's mercy. Because everything leads to more intense Krishna consciousness. That's why Queen Kunti prays in the Bhagavatam, let the so-called calamities happen again and again. Because actually, by the occurrence of these so-called calamities, we see you, Krishna. You're here more when there's distress. And by seeing you, we no longer see repeated birth and death. Repeated birth and death is the real disease, the real calamity. Who has a program to stop repeated birth and death? No one thinks about that. This goal is not put before you by your family. How many of you had parents who told you, you know, when you get older, I really want you to make a plan to stop repeated birth and death? Anyone have parents who said that? Seely, did your parents, they say that? Of course, your mother's a little special. Does she also, just like she did with your brother, Bal Gopal, does she put you to sleep by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra? Yes, so that's very nice. And where do you hear from governments? The goal of our citizens is to conquer repeated birth and death. Where do we see politicians competing for office? I have a better plan for how the people can conquer repeated birth and death. No, you don't hear that anywhere. Therefore, the masses of people are suffering so much, chasing illusory goals, just expending their energies for things the animals get without so much anxiety. Just think about that. Working hard to get things the animals get without stress. Do you see an animal stressed out about eating, sleeping, sex, and defense? No, it just happens. Similarly, that's the way it'll be for a human being. So why should the human being tie up so much energy in procuring, acquiring, eating, sleeping, sex, and defense? It's just an automatic material activity. Better you use your special energy as human beings for understanding what is God. By understanding what is God, then there is no longer repeated birth and death. You all like to be young and healthy in the prime of your life. Most of you are not foolish teenagers anymore, and nor are you old persons. You're in the prime of your life. Your body is at the peak of its powers. You're wondering, what will be my place in the world? What does the world have in store for me? I think Ishwar Puri is the only one besides me over 50 here. Yes. Anyone else over 50? No. Anyone over 40? Okay. A few over 30. Most are in your 20s. Are you over 30? Most are in your 20s, and then a few teenagers. So, don't be hypnotized, mesmerized by the temporary potency of your body and mind. Don't become intoxicated by this momentary freshness that you think your body and mind has. This is the greatest mistake. That's why it will do us no harm to hear again and again about the cycle of repeated birth and death. Sometimes we think, oh, I've heard that so many times. I want to hear something more esoteric. But look at our actions, and we can judge how much we've actually heard. Now that I'm over 50, I'm so thankful that Srila Prabhupada repeated the same points again and again. I understand what he was up against. He was up against the so-called ever-fresh feeling of youth and vitality. When you're in that stage, you just can't visualize that there's going to be something else. Like I was asking people who came Thursday night for the seminar, do you ever visualize yourself as an old person? And most of them said no. Everyone becomes overwhelmed by the momentary feeling of physical vitality and mental alertness. Yes. What does the world have in store for me? Only by hearing again and again about the realities of life? Can you possibly detach yourself? Otherwise, not possible. So I'm very thankful that Srila Prabhupada repeated those points again and again and again. Thrusting reality in front of our eyes again and again. You'll appreciate gradually more and more as you hopefully come out of illusion more and more and become more attached to Krishna. By understanding Krishna, you don't see repeated birth and death. By understanding Krishna, there's no good and bad for you. That's why Lord Chaitanya said, Dvaite Bhadra Bhadragan Sabamanadam Evala Evanda Esabram. This talking about this is good, this is bad, is all mental concoction, monodharma, university of mental speculation. Busy making these distinctions. This is good, this is bad. And what do you make the distinction based on? Who knows? Bridget, what do you make the distinction based on when you say, this is good, this is bad? Yes, what's good for your senses? What promises to be nice for your senses? That is mental speculation. It's a concoction. A devotee judges this is good or this is bad based on what is good for Krishna's pleasure. Everything depends on whether it gives Krishna pleasure or not. Then you are acting above the modes of material nature when you act like that. Otherwise, simply wasting your valuable human energy discriminating between what's good and bad for your sense gratification. You get weary from it. Your mind becomes weary. Am I happy? Do I have to change something in my life? This is the big thing now. People are always asking themselves, do I need to change something? Do I need to change my job? Do I need to change my relationship? Do I need to change this or that in order to get happy? I want to be happy. So people are advised, don't be afraid to take an honest look at your life and see if your job or your relationships or your house is making you happy. If these things are not making you happy, don't be afraid to change them. So everyone's got this itch now. I've got to change. Maybe I'm not completely happy. I've got to be bold and make changes. So people are exhorted in that way. They're urged. Look at your relationship. Is she really making you happy? If not, then change it. How can you dare waste a moment in a situation that doesn't make you happy? So everyone's just analyzing like that constantly. And they think this is advancement. We're not like the previous generations. We're honest. Does it make me happy? If not, I just give it up quickly. It's like a bee going from flower to flower. When there's no more flower, when there's no more sweetness to be had from one flower, the bee just goes to another flower. So the bee's always buzzing around from one flower to another. So that's what people think is advancement. We're just going to be like bees. As soon as one flower becomes a little stale, we immediately buzz to another flower. So everyone's just doing like that. That's all life is about. Just buzz around from one flower to another. Of course, in Vrindavan, this is what Krishna's dearmost devotees accuse him of doing. They accuse him of picking them up and then putting them down. But actually, they never give up on Krishna, even for a moment. You always have to remember, when you're reading the accusations by Krishna's dearest devotees, the gopis in Vrindavan, not even for a split second do they ever give up on Krishna. They just talk like that. And in their talking like that, they're more Krishna conscious. Whatever they do brings increased awareness of Krishna. So even when they are apparently criticizing Krishna, they're seeing Krishna. Krishna is more apparent for them. Because actually Krishna never leaves his devotees in Vrindavan. He's eternally bound up by their love. But just to give them the impression that he's gone, he does that to increase their love. That is the nature of the spiritual world. Everything is about increasing the love of God. And what is the nature of this material world? Everything is about decreasing your feeling and awareness for God. More and more I'm seeing that somehow that we have to start educating people in the science of God. This is the missing thing. They're so spun out on so-called spirituality and so-called spiritual wisdom without any authoritative process. This so-called New Age atmosphere has made it very difficult to simply teach people about God. You're just not cool if you start talking about God. But what can we do? We don't have anything else to offer. We have to start educating people. What is Krishna? And somehow they do it in a way that is appealing to them. Everything that they've been taught is for thinking the subject of God is irrelevant. But what can we do? We have the science of Bhagavad Dharma. We have to teach them. Just look at this situation here. Here in Yaksha's last moment. When the demon saw his magic forces dispelled, he once again came into the presence of the personality of Godhead, Keshava, and full of rage, tried to embrace him within his arms to crush him. But to his great amazement, he found the Lord standing outside the circle of his arms. Krishna's dearest devotees, they're always thinking to embrace Krishna. They're attracted by Krishna's arms, his serpentine arms. They want his arms around them. They're attracted by his chest. But here we see the demon wants to embrace Krishna for crushing him, to kill Krishna. That is the nature of the asura. Against God. The devotee sees God everywhere at every step, whether so-called good times or bad times. For a devotee, everything is auspicious. Everything leads to a provocation for thinking of Krishna. But for a non-devotee, he or she wants God out of everything. The last person you want to see. Have you ever had the experience of desperately trying to avoid running into someone? That ever happened to you? There's just a person you wanted to avoid. You'd even go to great lengths to avoid that person. You know, you would walk through the city a different way because you knew this person walks on this street and you'd want to meet that person. Ever happened? What was the situation? Who you're trying to avoid, the Iranian secret police or something? Yeah. Huh? Maybe it was a ex-partner or something. Anyone of you go through that? You didn't want to run into the person? Maybe you went to the same school or even you were in the same classroom at school and you just had to try to avoid that person. That never happened to you? Yeah. It's the last person I want to see. Is fried on the person. One month ago you were embracing the person tightly within your arms. This month, you'd love to embrace the person tightly to crush the person. Same person, but just changes month to month, weekend to weekend. So you go to great lengths to avoid that person. Oh, I don't want to be around that person. I don't want that person to see me. I can't stand that person. Well, that's what the non-devotee's mentality is like. One of avoiding Krishna. You do anything to avoid Krishna. You go through ridiculous lengths to explain that everything in the universe happened by chance and there's just matter. That's all there is. You go to great lengths to empower matter with the Chincha Shakti. Inconceivable power of Krishna. Who's this Lord Boar? Complete mythology. But matter, that has amazing potencies to give rise to consciousness and life. Lord Boar, totally mythological. Demons, magic forces. Who could believe that? But hardcore matter, yes, that's real. It's got potency. Matter has so many different potencies. It's the cause of all causes, sarva karana karana. So, this is the greatest mythology, but no one understands it. A devotee wants to see Krishna in everything. That is the luxury for devotees. By your increased taking shelter of the holy name of the Lord, you get the ability to see Krishna everywhere. In any situation, even a life-threatening situation, Prahlad Maharaj shows that. How he was always remembering the lotus-eyed Supreme Lord, even when his father, his own father, was trying to kill him. Now, Hiranyaksha, he went to embrace the Lord with his arms to crush him, and then he finds, what? The Lord is standing outside the circle of his arms. How can he measure the Supreme Lord? How can he get his arms around the Supreme Lord? Krishna has no beginning or end. Krishna has no front or rear. Mother Yashoda found that out when she tried to bind baby Krishna. She didn't want that Krishna become so afraid of her because she had a stick in her hand. She put the stick down. Krishna was crying, and Mother Yashoda had held him with one hand, and with the other hand she had a stick in her hand, and Krishna was crying and crying. Please, please, put the stick down. Mother Yashoda is saying, but why are you acting so naughty? I won't do it again. I won't do it again. Please put the stick down. In this way, Krishna is showing his dependency on his devotee. How he relishes that dependency even more, much more, than when devotees offer him praise and prayers of reverence. Krishna finds it much more relishable when his devotees control him with love. He voluntarily agrees to come under the control of his devotees' love. So Mother Yashoda is chastising him, and Krishna's crying. He's reciprocating with her. She's chastising him out of love. She feels that Krishna is my son. I have to protect him. I have to teach him what's proper behavior. She's not thinking he's God. Even when she opened Krishna's mouth because his playmates had accused Krishna of eating dirt, and Mother Yashoda looked in his mouth and she saw the entire cosmic manifestation, still she did not think this is God. She just wondered, what's going on here? Some kind of illusion? Anyway, Krishna, just don't do it again. Don't eat dirt again. Whatever, I don't know what I was seeing, but anyway, you're my son, and don't eat dirt. She dismissed it all as this is just this vision of a cosmic manifestation. I don't know, my son's kind of special, but he's still my son. Anyway, forget all that. Whatever I saw, I don't even know what I saw, but anyway, just don't eat dirt again, Krishna. So, she was trying to bind Krishna, because she had put down her stick, and she didn't want Krishna, who was fearful, to run off into the forest. So, as is commonly done in traditional Indian villages, she bound him to something. She tried to. She got a rope, and she couldn't get it around Krishna's waist. He's just a little boy. Why couldn't she get the rope around his waist? Then she got another rope and joined it to that rope. Still, she couldn't get the rope around little Krishna's waist. Little boy. What's the problem to get a rope around the waist of the little boy? But Krishna was thinking, I don't want you to buy me. I want to go play with my friends and do more mischief. And Mother Yasoda is thinking, I'm going to bind you to protect you. So she gets rope after rope after rope. And each time she joins the ropes and puts the collection of ropes around Krishna's waist, each time, always two fingers too short. No matter how many ropes she adds on, always the same distance, too short. This is Krishna having fun. It doesn't materially make any sense. You connect so many ropes to get around a little child's waist, but each time, the result is two fingers too short. Krishna is showing. Unless I agree, you cannot bind me. How can you bind someone who has no beginning or end? How can you bind someone who has no front or rear? In this way, Krishna is showing. I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. At the same time, I'm reciprocating with my devotees in pure love. So, all the elderly gopis in the village were watching this, smiling, as Mother Yashoda, with great determination, would get rope after rope after rope, connect them, try to get around Krishna's waist, and each time, two fingers too short. Mother Yashoda was very determined. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that she told her friends, I don't care if I have to get every rope in the village. I am binding this child, and I don't care if I have to stay here all day into the night. I'm binding this child. This is her determination of love. Vatsalya Ras, parental love of God. Krishna depends on me. I have to protect him. I have to teach him and maintain him. So I'm going to do this. It's simply pure love of Krishna for Krishna's pleasure. Finally, Krishna sees his mother become fatigued. He sees the flowers falling from her hair, the perspiration on her transcendental body. Impressed by her loving determination, he responds with his own determination. Mother Yashoda's determination is called Bhakta Nishta, the determination of a devotee to care for Krishna, to love Krishna. And Krishna's determination is called Swanishta. His determination, his own personal determination, that I will reciprocate the love of my devotees without fail. So that's what bridged the gap between the ropes. That's what bridged the distance of the two fingers. Mother Yashoda's Bhakti determination and Krishna's determination as Bhakta Vatsala, ever affectionate with his devotees. That's what covered the distance. Otherwise, you cannot measure Krishna. He's aprameya. Immeasurable and avyaya, inexhaustible. So this is a practical lesson in the science of God that Krishna is giving as Bal Gopal, little child Krishna. The same lesson, same basic lesson, the different flavor is being given in the case of Hiranyaksha. He's trying to embrace Krishna, full of rage to crush Krishna. But how can he get his arms around the Supreme Lord? He's battling the incarnation of Krishna, Varaha. The nature of God is that he can expand himself into incarnations. So, it's not incorrect to say that Hiranyaksha is trying to embrace Krishna, but more precisely, he's trying to embrace this avatar of Krishna, Lord Varaha. And, of course, because Lord Varaha is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, immeasurable, Hiranyaksha is finding he's just outside of the circle of my arms. We should think about this. What is the nature of God? How can I understand God? To understand the Supreme Lord, you must become free from sinful activity. As long as you are performing sinful activity, you cannot understand what is God. Krishna is there everywhere, but you'll never see because of sinful activity. That's why in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Yesham ta antakatam papam janana punya karmanam. Only those who have made a stop to sinful activity, antakata papa, they can actually enroll in understanding God. So if you're wondering, why is it I don't see God? Why is it I don't experience God? The answer is because of sinful activity. Therefore, the first thing a devotee does is stop the sinful activity. And you know what the four pillars of sin are in Kali Yuga. Meat eating, gambling, illicit sex, intoxication. A devotee stops those things. And then you become free from the lower modes of nature, ignorance and passion. In the mode of goodness, you start to get some perception of the reality of God. And then, of course, beyond the mode of goodness, everything is clearly revealed. Mode of goodness is not good enough, because in the material world, the mode of goodness is subject to attack by passionate ignorance. It's not pure. But when you go beyond the mode of goodness, then there's freedom from all the modes of nature. Are there any questions? Yes. Everything Krishna does is for pleasure. That is the nature of God. He's not, she's giving her a chance to love him. When you marry and have a child, you'll see how the wife actually enjoys disciplining the child. He's giving her a chance to love him, to care for him. She's thinking, unless I discipline this child, I won't be raising him properly. It's my responsibility. You see, everyone who thinks of God, and that's not many people these days. Dina Diala was telling me about some article she saw in one international news magazine about some scientists putting forth that there's a gene in you that makes you, that inclines you for searching for God. And this is the reason why people are hung up about God. It's just some kind of gene in them that hasn't been rooted out yet by evolution. But I told her, well, if why don't they understand that it looks like the gene isn't working too well because that many people are searching for God these days. That's the end of their theory. It's just not happening. Actually, it's it's just a lot of speculation. Another part of the effort, how not to see Krishna anywhere. Oh, this is all just some biological thing in you. A propensity that's happening because of your genes. You're looking for God. That's all. There's nothing spiritual, but you just have this gene in you that makes you look for God. Because at one point in human evolution, it was favorable for the survival of the species that you get hung up on the God trip. That's what they say. All right, taking your words as they are, you say there's a gene that causes people to search for God. Well, looks like the gene is malfunctioning. So, the few people who think of God, especially in like Christianity, Mediterranean religions, or Middle East religions like Christianity, Judaism, Islam, as conventionally known, they look at God as the Father, provider. That means taking service from God. But in bhakti, you can treat God as your son. You serve your son. And that's what Mother Yashoda is doing. Krishna is giving her the opportunity to serve him. And that service is based on praying, pure love, unconditional love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it's a very beautiful sight to see Krishna making mischief. All the residents of Vrindavan are completely mesmerized watching Krishna do his mischief in the village, sneak into people's houses, steal butter, pinch the babies and make them cry. If he doesn't see any opportunity for mischief in their house, then he, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as Bal Gopal, little Krishna, passes stool and urine in their house. So the residents of Vrindavan, they're always talking about what Krishna does. Even when they go to Mother Yashoda and lodge complaints against Krishna, they're actually happy. Because they're talking about Krishna. Krishna did this. He did that. Why don't you do something about it? Mother Yashoda says, well, maybe I should take his jewels away because he uses the effulgence of his jewels that decorate his body to see in the dark to find the butter in people's houses. Then the people say, nah, even if you take his jewels away, he'll still be able to see in the dark because his body gives off an effulgence. So this way they're just talking about Krishna. Similarly, the gopis seem to be in distress because Krishna's left them. And they talk about Krishna, apparently in a condemning way. He's off with the girls in Mathura. We were simple girls who believed him. We were just simple village girls. He used us and left us aside. Now he's with the sophisticated ladies in Mathura city. They go on and on like that. But they just go on and on talking about Krishna. And the more they talk about Krishna, the more Krishna's present for them. Krishna's pastimes give us the chance to think of Krishna more. One of Krishna's pastimes is to be here as his holy name. After all the chanting last night, when I was sleeping, I was simply hearing the chanting all night. Any of you had that experience? Yes, so that shows you Krishna consciousness is possible. You have that experience. It's possible. It's not something so complicated. But the material energy makes Krishna consciousness seem so complicated. Especially when you think, oh, I'm at the peak of my life. My body is fresh. My mind is alert. What's in the world for me? How will my senses be stimulated and honored? That means we're still thinking we are the predominator rather than understanding we're the predominated. We are Prakriti. As you've read, we're all female. Male-female is just a temporary distinction based on the body. Of course, we have to cope with that distinction, otherwise things will get a bit chaotic. Nevertheless, we are actually all female, and Krishna is the only Purusha. Krishna is the only male. So, in the classic sense of predominator and predominated, we're meant to be predominated by Krishna. In this day and age, of course, you don't say that the men are predominators. It's not socially appropriate. And also, in most cases, it's not true. The men are so weak, you know. Actually, these days, both men and women, they have no idea what to do. Everyone is meant to be predominated by Krishna. Then there's peace. So when you chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, you're actually praying, my dear Lord, please predominate me. Before, I was an artificial enjoyer, an artificial predominator. Now I understand I'm the predominated. You please predominate me by engaging me in your transcendental loving service. By being the servant of Krishna's devotee, being very attentive in our devotional service, which includes attentive chanting of the holy name of Krishna. First, there's duty consciousness. From the duty consciousness and commitment comes the raga, the spontaneous attachment. You have to get the Kali Yuga romance concept out of your mind, that first you feel a buzz. You catch the feeling from someone, and then you might commit yourself. No. Krishna consciousness means first you do your duty, you commit yourself, and then you'll get more than the buzz. More than the buzz of feeling, you'll get raga, spontaneous attraction for the Supreme Lord. That's why bhakti is in two phases. The stage of devotional service performed under rules and regulations, and the stage of spontaneous love of God. You make sure your life is full of Krishna, and certainly you stay away from sinful activity. Because of sinful activity, Krishna is blocked from your view, just like the clouds block the sun. So you want to make sure that your life is pure if you're actually hungry to experience God. And to be pure in Kali Yuga means to constantly pray, Krishna, please protect me. Don't trust Maya. Oh, everything looks all right. No worries. I'm okay. I'm not attracted to this or that. When you think like that, you should know it's Maya already there. Instead, pray to Krishna with helplessness. Never mind how it looks to my imperfect senses. The danger of illusion. The energy is all around. Please protect me. Don't trust your tiny senses. Trust Krishna. You can just pray. I know that there's Maya here, even though I think I'm safe right now. I don't see it, but I know it's here. Krishna, you have to save me. If you always pray to Krishna like that, you'll be protected. Every devotee needs some service that causes you to increase your dependency on the Lord. That's what we try to do here. We try to make sure that every devotee has the chance to walk out on the limb a bit, which will cause you to depend on Krishna more. It will cause you to realize, I can't do this service without increased potency. And in order to have increased potency, I have to follow the regular principles and chant the holy name. Everyone needs a service like that that will instill in them a sense of, there's no way I can do this without becoming Krishna conscious. We don't want to become comfortable materially. We want to become comfortably spiritually. Comfortable spiritually. Spiritual luxury means increased dependence on Krishna. And if you take that risk to teach Krishna's glories to others, you become especially dear to the Lord. Why? Because you're trying to tell people who think they are healthy that they're sick. You're trying to get a person who thinks he's healthy to take medicine. So it's not easy. But that's the purpose of this cosmic manifestation. It's a reformatory place. Krishna has reluctantly sent you here because you wanted to experience life as a rebel, as a predominator. So Krishna fulfilled your desire, but at the same time, he's making constant efforts to reclaim you, to reform you. So that's the story of the material world. So when you try to help others to be Krishna conscious, you are aligned with the actual purpose of the cosmic manifestation. That is the glory of Sankirtan, preaching, distributing, cultivating. You're actually perfectly aligned with the purpose of the cosmos. You studied modern science? in college? Yes. Don't you call high school college? No? Secondary school. So you're an expert in zoology? What's those wonderful about Lord Chaitanya getting tigers and lions to dance, elephants to dance and roar Hare Krishna? What's so special about that? Why? Whose energy is it? Right, so just like Krishna can appear as stone, although actually he's Krishna, because the matter belongs to Krishna. Even if you say the deity is stone, it's not Krishna, it's stone. You're incorrect, because even if you say it's stone, stone is the energy of the Lord. Krishna can turn matter into spirit, spirit into matter. Every day you take prasad, I hope, yes? What is that? Yeah, you don't deny that one, right? I don't know if I can take prasad today. I don't know if I can touch that pizza. You know, I just don't understand how it could be that the Lord glances over it. According to modern science, you don't think like that. You just, prasad, yeah. Is it offered for booze? Okay, just go for it. And immediately you get confirmation that the Supreme Personality of Godhead exists when you take prasad. Didn't all of you have that experience when you took prasad? What's something special about this food? Seva Mukhihi Jivada, devotional service begins with the tongue. So every day you're participating in the miracle of prasad. Why don't you You don't doubt that? According to modern science, how could it be that the Lord glances over this food with his eyes and transforms it into spiritual food? He never asked that. Now you say, it tastes so good. A devotee cannot eat anything except that which is offered to Krishna. After a while, you'll be even able to tell. If someone by mistake gives you something that's not offered, as soon as it hits your mouth, you can tell. Something's wrong here. You immediately can taste. This is not right. This is something's wrong here. So what is the problem for Lord Chaitanya to make lions and deer and elephants dance together in harmony? Jungle peace. What's the problem? They're all his energy. Their bodies are his material energy. The spirit soul is his spiritual energy. What's the problem? Krishna can do whatever he likes with his energy. Yes. You also. You came out of the jungle and contacted the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya and you started dancing. Right? Wasn't your name before Dancing Tim? So how did that miracle happen? What scientist can explain it? 1 minute he was drowning in illicit sex and intoxication. Next minute he's Krishna, Krishna. Like a maddened elephant. How did it happen? It's like when you showed me your drawings in your book from that stage of your life. Oh my God, I was just getting depressed just by looking at them. What made the transformation? Now you're making such nice graphic presentations of Krishna. Whereas when I looked in your portfolio from your previous years, like, madness. So what made that transformation? So, you cannot understand these things with material intelligence. Atapite deva padam buja. Just a trace of a particle of dust from the lotus feet of the Lord will allow you to understand them. Otherwise, not. You cannot understand Krishna with your material intelligence. He says it in Bhagavad Gita. You think he's just saying that just to, you know, be talking? Only by devotional service can I be understood. That's the way it is. Without devotional service, you're covered by the deluding energy of Maya. You can immediately see the effects of Krishna consciousness. It's like last week when I was in Wakainai and Bridget and Matt were coming in the evening. I was amazed at the difference sitting in the kirtan made with Bridget when she first came from work earlier. Like, her head was exploding. You know, all different directions at once. I don't know if you have the expression wigged out. You have that expression here? No, but you can imagine what it means. But she sat in the kirtan after 1 hour, she's a completely different person. Much to Matt's delight. So, everyone can immediately see the transformation brought about by Krishna consciousness. We're seeing that. First, people come here very morose, dirty-faced, ashen-looking, filthy with Kali Yuga. And then, by following the bhakti process, they become transformed. Isn't that a miracle? Anyone who's killed by Krishna personally may become free from material existence, but they don't go back to Godhead. If you're killed by Krishna, you get liberation, but you fall down from that impersonal liberation. Therefore, devotees aren't interested in that kind of liberation. You have to read louder, please. Because they're not demons. They had appreciation of the Lord in their last moment. They saw His beauty. In the last moment of their life, they saw Parthasarathi on His chariot. They're not demons, though. There's a difference. At the end of Kali Yuga, they're just demons. But these are not demons. They weren't pure devotees during their life, but they had the good fortune of seeing the Lord before they left their body. And so they went back to Godhead. And those on the battlefield of Kurukshetra who die without seeing the Lord, they went to the heavenly planets. That's the result of their doing their Kshatriya Dharma. Dying in a proper battle, you go to the heavenly planets, even if you lose the war. That's why when Krishna was preaching to Arjuna in a non-bhakti way, but just giving him material incentive. He said, if you win, you enjoy this world. If you lose, you go to the heavenly planets. So how can you lose? That's material incentive. That's not Krishna's ultimate motivation that he's giving to Arjuna. The ultimate motivation is sarva dhanam parityaja, just surrender to me. I want the war, so you fight it. You understand? What is the difficulty? What's confusing? Yes, for a devotee, liberation into the impersonal effulgence of the Lord is hell, because there's no service, there's no love. Even you go there, you have to come back because you're an individual and you have to engage in relationships. So that the demons, when they're killed by the Lord personally, that they go to the effulgence of the Lord, the devotee doesn't want that. The devotee doesn't mind staying in the material world as long as he has service. But these soldiers on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, they're not demons. As they were giving up their body, they saw the chariot driver, Parthasarathi. Oh, so beautiful. They went back to Godhead. Those who died without getting a glimpse of the Lord, they went to the heavenly planets because that's the result of properly executing your Kshatriya Dharma. Okay? What's so difficult? What may makes you think that this place is the only place you can go. The Earth planet is the only place you can go. There's so many universes, so many places to go, so many places to travel to. Do you know where most people today are going? Animal species of life. You didn't know that? Most people today are heading for the animal species. They all think, you know, New Age, we're evolving with the universe to perfection. No, animal species. Misuse the human form of life. Unless you meet them on Sankirtan, what is the hope for them? So by your Sankirtan activities, you're intervening in these people's karma. Just by your approaching them, you're reaching into their karma as an agent of Krishna, and everything becomes rearranged if they respond properly towards you. Either they just take the book in their hand from you, and like I have one picture of you where the person took the book and then he's handing it back to you, putting it back on your stack of books in your hand. Still, if he did that with appreciation, he gets a human form of life in his next life. So what greater welfare work can you do? How can you show greater love than that? You don't know what you're doing. You don't understand the full import of what you're doing. You've just engaged in the greatest act of love. What do you think? If you stick with this activity of distributing Krishna consciousness, one day you'll see Krishna on the street. Gradually you'll understand that you're doing the greatest loving activity. Otherwise, what should you do? What should you do? Just hold someone tight, say I love you, and slurp them with your tongue? Do this activity of preaching, cultivating, distributing Krishna consciousness, the more you understand that Krishna has given you the opportunity to be the greatest lover. That's why we say Lord Chaitanya came to break open the storehouse of love of God. This is not theoretical, it's happening. Once you get out of Rajagun and Tamagun, you'll be able to see more clearly this is what's going on. And you'll become excited about the love possibility. Then Krishna consciousness really starts to take off you. Wow. Yes. The love possibilities in bhakti. Aliens? Sina? It's the bhakti of the seer and the bhakti of the artist that brings the presence of Krishna stronger or weaker. You take different types of prasad cooked by different persons, and you can be provoked in Krishna consciousness to varying degrees. It depends on you and the cook. And also, Krishna's independent. But generally, it depends on the Krishna consciousness of the cook and the Krishna consciousness of the eater. Krishna's everywhere. But depending on your bhakti, you'll be able to see or not. Whether Krishna is whitish in a picture, or even as the deity, apparently whitish marble, or Krishna is blackish, if there's bhakti, you'll be able to see Krishna. That's why everyone needs guidance. Tadvidhi pranipatena. Krishna says if you want to understand the truth about bhakti, then you have to have guidance. How do you know if you've been sick that you're getting healthy? You need a doctor. Isn't that common sense? The doctor tells you these are the symptoms when you're getting healthy. The doctor looks at you. Oh, no more marijuana. You must be becoming healthy. One of our devotees in Melbourne, before, when he first came along to Krishna consciousness, during the days of the first loft in Auckland, he had the nickname Puff, Bhakta Puff. Because he would always come to the loft and expound the dharma of marijuana smoking as a key to spiritual enlightenment. So we just finally called him Bhakta Puff. Now he laughs about that, because he hasn't done that kind of thing for ages. But now he laughs at it. But back then he was very serious. You know, he had dreadlocks and smoking marijuana brings you spiritual visions. So, you can immediately tell that Krishna consciousness is working when these dreadful habits go away. And then, of course, there are the symptoms of increased attachment to Krishna's service, to Krishna, the symptoms of love of God. The regular principles, as I always explain, simply make you a human being. This process that Srila Prabhupada has given us, it does two things simultaneously. It makes you a human being and a transcendentalist at the same time. This has never been done before. That is the unlimited potency of the holy name of Krishna. Hi, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Prabhupada. Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada. Jai Prabhupada, 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 Jai Prabhupada.
Sri Adwaita Radha Shiva Sai Gaur Mandarina.
Oh,
All glories is on the Lord. 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 All glories is on the L